We had Nubina, she asked us about some sheikhs who say or claim that Allah says about the alcohol in the Quran that it has some benefits and it has some harms. So it doesn't have to be necessarily haram or impermissible. And he's spreading that. So she was inquiring about this, seeking advice.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Praise be to Allah, we praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is the truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can show him guidance. May peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the prophets and messengers. Thumma amma ba'd. Indeed, yes, there is a verse in the Quran where it says that يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, not only about alcohol. They inquire and ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning alcohol and gambling. قُلْ say, فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ, say that they do have a great sin and a great harm and some benefits. But وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا, but their sin and their harm is much, much greater than their benefits. But before we take things out of context, like some people do, we have to understand that it's not up to any individual to interpret the Quran or give the rulings of the Sharia. And unfortunately, it has become very widespread to hear things like that. And this is indeed one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. It is very risky to address the Quran and to elaborate in the Sunnah while you don't have the adequate knowledge. The mother of the believers, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, in one hadith, she said that if the first verse to be revealed was, don't you drink, people would have said, the Meccans, wallahi, we would never give up on drinking, would never quit drinking alcohol. If the first verse to be revealed, don't you commit adultery, the Meccans would say, by Allah, we would never give up on our relations with our girlfriends, because people were indulged and involved in those false and forbidden activities day and night. It was their routine and daily practice. They couldn't just give up on it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began by stating and establishing the concept of at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then clarifying to them, who's the legislator? Whom are they worshipping? So that when they have a relationship with Him, whenever He says do, they comply. Whenever He says do not do, they definitely immediately abstain, as it did take place. From that we understand that the rulings of the Sharia were not ordained all of a sudden in one day. No, the revelation of the Quran took place over the period of 23 years. The Quran is unlike any other book. It's different than the Torah, different than the Gospel, different than the scriptures of Ibrahim and Musa. They were revealed as one book. Instantly. But the Quran was revealed slowly, step by step, verse by verse, sometimes surah by surah, based on the circumstances and the needs to answer questions, to handle problems which arise in the Muslim community, to give new rules and regulations. So in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a beautiful introduction to the relation of the Muslims to two things which that they used to practice on a daily basis, which is gambling and drinking. He said, yes, they do have some benefits, but they are very harmful, and their harm is much greater than benefit. What benefits? Whenever you sell alcohol, that there is an interest, there is a profit in that. Whenever you gamble, you might win, you might lose. So there are definitely some financial benefits. But the harmful effect is beyond count. Then there is another stage after they were mentally prepared by knowing that drinking and alcohol has some very harmful effect. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited them from praying while being drunk. And that of course would require a person not to drink throughout the entire day, because the prayers were distributed 5 times a day. If you pray Fajr, you cannot drink so that you will be able to pray Dhuhr and so forth till the end of the day. That's again, once again, one step on the right track to prepare them to quit drinking, what's known as in the rehab centers as the gradual withdrawal. Whenever you have an addict, you don't say you have to quit right away. If he's an addict to cocaine, heroin, or anything, or even alcohol. But there has to be gradual withdrawal. they give that addict person doses, but smaller by smaller doses until he's completely healed and recovered. So since they were addicted to that, to adultery, to gambling, to liquor, they were treated likewise in the beginning of the legislation. In the sciences of the Quran, there is a science which is known as the science of abrogation, al-nasukh wal-mansukh. And we've been working on coming up with a program to explain to the viewers exactly much about the science and the sciences of the Quran, so that they will understand. Whenever there is a verse was revealed at a certain time to handle a certain problem, then later on there was another verse was revealed but abrogated the ruling of the earlier one. But the text is still confirmed in the Quran, but the ruling has been abrogated, such as this verse. So the following verse says that, O you who believe, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Don't you pray, don't you start the prayer, don't you go near the prayer while you are drunk. Why? حتى تعلموا ما تقولون. So of course this verse abrogated the previous statement. Then there comes the final stage of the prohibition in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 90, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Now he's addressing the believers, not all the Meccans, not everybody, but those who would listen attentively, who are waiting for the call of Allah because he's addressing the believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. A bunch of things were prohibited at once because the Muslim community were ready to receive that command and this prohibition. That al-khamr, every and any intoxicants, not only wine, anything would do the same and would cause a person to be drunk, to be absent-minded, to be intoxicated, so that you call it wine, you call it black and white, you call it beer, you call it soft drinks, whatever, as long as it causes a person to be drunk, and it is intoxicants, then it is prohibited. Well, maysir, gambling. Well, ansab, they used to set certain stones for blessing. They sacrifice their animals there, like idols. Well, azlam, drawing arrows to seek luck and to make decisions. This is all of the work of the dirty handwork of ash-shaytan. What to do concerning this dirty work? فَجِتَنِبُوهُ. You must avoid it completely and do not go near it. This final decision which was revealed in Surah Al-Ma'idah makes it very clear that whatever was revealed before that, even though the text and the verse is still stated in the Quran, but its ruling has been abrogated. So it's not up to any person to say, well, Allah says that Al-Khamr has some benefits and some harms. That means it's okay. Somebody else would come and say, no, Allah says, only do not drink if you're going to pray. This is not true. Look at the complete picture and never, never give a fatwa or give any statement in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the proper knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, warning against this evil behavior, that whoever says anything about me which I did not say in lying, let him expect his seat in the fire of hell. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is one thing. Now let us come to the sound sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, and it is fi Sunan Abi Dawud, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْخَمْرَ وَشَارِبَهَا وَبَائِعَهَا وَسَاقِيهَا. May Allah curse al-khamr, or Allah has cursed wine, alcohol, and its derivatives. Any intoxicants. He cursed the one who drinks, the one who's an alcoholic. He cursed the one who sells it, the one who pours it, the one who squeezes the grape, the one who carries it, and the one whom to him it has been carried, and the one whom to him it's been squeezed. Everyone who's been involved directly or indirectly has been involved in the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning al-kham. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that مدمن الخمر, an addict, an alcoholic, will not enter paradise. Plain statement. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are all sound hadith, The Prophet ﷺ says that the one who drinks and he gets drunk, Allah will not accept his prayer for the period of 40 days. 40 days his prayer is in vain. That he would not receive any reward for any prayer. And that doesn't mean that he should not pray. No. He must pray, but he's been fulfilling the fard, but without gaining the reward. So if he doesn't pray, it will make the problem more complicated. Actually, it will be a complex problem. So, and if he repents, this is a good news, Allah would accept his repentance. And he might get weak once again and he drinks. Once again, Allah would not accept his prayer for 40 days. He will be deprived from the reward of his prayer for 40 days. And if he repents, Allah would accept his repentance 3 times. But if he still insists on being addict and drinking, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish him in the fire of hell by making him drink from the squeeze of the people and the dwellers of fire. May Allah protect all of us from that. If you examine the biggest and the most leading cause of death in car accidents worldwide, in the United States particularly, it is driving while drinking. It causes disasters if a person is drunk, and that's why it was prohibited. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us. Al-Khamr is one of the tools which a shaitan uses to hinder us from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the remembrance of Allah, from offering the salah. And he sows fitna and enmity amongst us through that. So are we going to quit? Of course we should say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We heard and we obey. Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates to us a very interesting story. He says that, in the nations before us, there was a monk. This monk, a worshipper, a woman was in love with this man. And he wasn't aware of that. So she sent her maid to him. She said that we needed you in a mas'ala, in a testimony, in a testify, to witness something. So he answered the invitation. When he went, that every time he enters one room, they make sure that they lock the doors behind him, until he ended up in a room where he saw a very pretty woman. And next to her, there was a baby, and there was wine. So the lady said to him that, I haven't invited you for any, you know, testimonial business. I just wanted from you to have sex with me. He refused. May Allah protect us. I seek refuge with Allah and all of that. She said, well, if you don't, I'm going to scream him and say that this baby is yours. So you either have a relationship with me, or kill the baby, or drink the wine. So by his limited understanding, he examined the 3 sins and says, probably the easiest one is just to drink. This is to indicate that Al-Khamr is the mother of all evil. Is the mother of all evil. So he drank a little glass of wine. He got drunk. He drank again and again until he was completely drunk. When he was drunk, he was like a toy in the hand of shaitan. So he made him have sex with the woman. Adultery. He committed adultery, which he was afraid from. And when he saw that, he realized that they're going to accuse him that this baby is his. So he killed him. So he committed the 3 sins because of his absence of his mind, which Al-Khamr would definitely do. The conclusion of all of that, I would really request from all the Muslim Ummah, before making any judgment, before volunteering to give a fatwa or any ruling of the Sharia, if you're not a physician, you can never prescribe a medication, because you're not a physician. Whenever you have a car mechanical problem, you never suggest what to do. Rather, you take it to a mechanic, because a professional is the best person to handle this problem. Similarly, please, in the religion of Allah, do not suggest on your own, or otherwise, it would not be only you who will go astray, but you would mislead others as well, and you will be responsible for their sins. May Allah protect all of us from that.